From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This week, as expected, the Federal Aviation Administration released new guidelines on the use of drones. The regulations have been years in the making, and many hoped they would be comprehensive. They are not. Simply put, drone pilots need to be flying something under 55 pounds within the pilot's sight, somewhere below a 400-foot altitude, and they got to stay away from strangers. Operators will need to pass a simple exam, and you can expect the skies to darken soon with more drones, says Missy Cummings, director of the Duke Humans and Autonomy Laboratory.
I would expect to see almost immediately real estate companies, for example, using these to get pictures of property and houses online. Insurance companies, for example, will be able to use them to inspect roofs. First responders will be able to use them in cases like, you know, the Orlando shooting or in the cases of a flood or, you know, widespread fire.
Okay, what about drones making deliveries? Nope, not yet. Dreams deferred. You have heard about Bitcoin and how the cryptocurrency's underlying technology could be used for all sorts of financial transactions. Well, one technology with a rabid fan base often begets another. Enter Ethereum, a newer digital currency technology with customizable tools for financial companies and digital transactions of all kinds. Ethereum, whose currency is called Ether, is built to include so-called smart contracts, which can be designed to execute financial transactions automatically. It's an abstract idea, but the financial and tech industries are very interested in this because it cuts out a lot of middlemen. Thing about new currency technologies, though, they are unregulated and sometimes vulnerable. Nathaniel Popper is a reporter at the New York Times who has been covering a recent Ethereum hack. Nathaniel, this hack involved one of these smart contracts?
Exactly. It was this thing that was written using Ethereum and opened up. Anybody could send Ether to this contract. And the promise was that it would be kind of like a crowdfunded venture capital fund. And so somebody saw a vulnerability in the contract. This wasn't just the case of somebody sort of going in and stealing the password. There was a vulnerability in this smart contract that had been written into Ethereum that somebody took advantage of and basically siphoned off about $60 million worth of Ether. The person who is responsible for the hack, or somebody who claims they were responsible for the hack, has written a public letter saying that what I did in stealing this money was totally legal. These are smart contracts, and all I did was get the contract to do what I wanted it to do.
All right, so this is a big deal for folks who gave money to this organization, but is it a big deal for you and me and anyone else who might not use Ethereum?
Well, I think the reason this matters is that there are all of these big, important institutions that are looking at using this technology. Even central banks are talking about using it, potentially moving their own currencies onto something like this. And so when you see an attack like this and you see these sorts of security issues, it changes the calculus in moving forward with all these experiments and in moving forward with thinking about what the future of the financial system is going to look like.
Nathaniel Popper, he is a reporter for the New York Times. He's also written a book about Bitcoin called Digital Gold. Nathaniel, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
The music you're listening to right now is by a band called Sunlux. The band just released a new EP called Stranger Forms. It's a set of remixes from an earlier recording called Bones. Sunlux writes trip-hop, often by sending acoustic instrument sounds through a lot of computer processing. I caught the band on a tour stop in North Carolina recently and talked with them a bit about their process. You're going to hear guitarist Rafiq Badia here and then the band's songwriter, Ryan Lott.
A lot of the sounds that sound electronic in our music actually have acoustic sources, but they're manipulated to the point where they're not recognizable in their original form.
Can you give me an example from a specific song?
There's this kind of like pulsating pad-like texture that anchors the song Your Day Will Come off of Bones. And it's like almost like a giant bird flapping its wings or something like that. And it actually originated with a sample from a four tenor saxophone group called Battle Trance that are friends of ours. It's slowed down and kind of played back you don't recognize it as an acoustic sound, but it came from a human being acting on, you know, her, his environment.
It sounds like you use some samples. You make music that could potentially be sampled. How do you think about making money?
That's a tricky one, because then you get your soul gets involved there, right? You know, ultimately, the quickest way to make money as a band is to license your music for any number of things, television shows, advertising, any sort of media. That's really the only way that, you know, you can reliably make music these days, if you're not making, you know, hit records. And our aim is really not to do that. Our aim is really to challenge idioms, not necessarily embrace them and make a buck that way.
So how do you make a buck?
So licensing is a big part of it. The other thing that's really fascinating to us and that's been helpful to us is creating music that other people sample. Even though we're not making quote-unquote pop music, those who are ultimately looking to us for new sound sources. And this new platinum-selling artist, Halsey, and even this rock band called Fall Out Boy, you know, their producers are looking to us to lead sonically. You know, I think it actually follows in the tradition, in African-American tradition, that blues and jazz idioms have well established and built incredible foundations on. And now, again, we're doing something that's very similar to that, just maybe in a different dimension.
Sunluck songwriter Ryan Lott and guitarist Rafiq Badia there. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.